We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, that is, you lack no room in our hearts. There's plenty of room for you in our hearts. But you are straitened in your own bowels. You lack room in your affection for us. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged or affectionate toward us. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My message this morning will be on the subject, the day of salvation. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, in the last two lines, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, David wrote of this day of salvation in Psalms 118. And I want you to please everyone who has a Bible to turn to Psalms 118. Now, we frequently quote this verse. And it is true that whether it be raining, or whether it be snowing, or whether it be a sunshiny day, it is the day the Lord hath made. But that is not what David is referring to in Psalms 118, verse 24. He says in Psalms 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. But read the two verses preceding this verse. What day is he talking about? Verse 22, Psalms 118 says, the stone which the builders refused, that's Christ, and the builders are the religious leaders, is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In other words, Christ came, and though he was despised and rejected of men, crucified and slain, it is the Lord's doing. God sent him down here to this earth. He sent him to be the Savior. He sent him to be the head of the corner. He sent him to be the stone upon which the living temple is built. And though he was rejected, the Lord has established him as being the tried stone, the sure cornerstone. And this is the day which the Lord hath made, the day of salvation, the day of the exalting and establishing of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only mediator and the only Savior of sinners. And that's the day he's talking about there. Now, God, the King of Kings, is the creator of all days. He can make our days to be without clouds, and he can make our days to be dark with gloom. He can make it a day of salvation, or he can make it a day of condemnation. He can make it a day of blessings, or he can make it a day of vengeance. The Scripture says, he declareth the end from the beginning. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is the day the Lord hath made. Now then, God has had his days of wrath and his days of vengeance. They're written in his book. That dark day, that day of gloom, when our parents were driven from the Garden of Eden, was a day of wrath. It was a day of vengeance. It was a day of judgment. It was the fulfillment of God's promise, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And God said, cast them out. That was not a day of salvation. That was a day of wrath. That was a day of judgment. That dreadful day when the rain first started falling upon this world, and after that 40 days when the rain fell in floods and torrents upon this earth, that was certainly not a day of salvation. Not for the world. That was a day of judgment. That was not a day of grace. That was a day of wrath. Yes, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But it was generally a day of wrath, a day of judgment. And then that day that God delivered Lot, righteous Lot, out of Sodom, and then hell fell out of heaven and consumed Sodom and Gomorrah in the flames of God's grace, no sir, in the flames of God's wrath, in the flames of God's judgment. That was a day of wrath. That was a day, but the day the Lord hath made. It was a day of vengeance. It was his day. And then there's going to be another fearful day. There's going to be a day even more fearful than all of these. And that's the day when the heavens and earth shall melt away with a fervent heat. But blessed be God, we are not living in a day of wrath. Our text declares this is the day of salvation. It is the day the Lord hath made. God hath set and declared a day of salvation from Calvary to this present hour. It has not yet been suspended. The day of God's long suffering and God's mercy has not yet been suspended. It is lasting on, and it shall last, he says, until he descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. This is the day that the Lord hath made. It is the day of Christ. It is the day of mercy. It is the day of grace. It is the day of salvation. Now, if you will, I want to read the first verse of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Now, look at it. Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, that is with God, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. This day of salvation is a great favor from God. Paul calls it the grace of God. He didn't have to give it. Grace is unearned, unmerited favor. He didn't have to give it to us, and what a tragedy it would be to live in the day of grace and miss its blessings. What a tragedy it would be to live in the day of mercy and die without mercy.
What a tragedy to live in the day of light and die in darkness. What a tragedy to live in the day when God spoke. God spoke through His Son and never hear His voice. The kingdom of God is around you. Have you entered in? Paul said, I beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. The grace of God is here. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. This is not a day of wrath. It is a day of mercy. Don't die without mercy. Now, in the day of judgment, all shall fall like in the flood. In the day of vengeance, all shall be consumed like in Sodom. The Scripture said, if God had not left us a remnant, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. All shall be consumed. In the day of God's judgment, in the day of God's wrath, in the day of the visitation of God's justice, all shall be consumed. But we're not in that day right now. We're in a day of light. And yet many walk in darkness. The kingdom of God is all about us, and yet many have not entered in. The grace of God is showered all around us, and yet many have not partaken thereof. Don't receive the grace of God, Paul said, in vain. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. Now then, let's look at three or four things. First of all, the reason for this day of salvation. Go back and read verse 20, which I did a moment ago in our scripture reading. This division of chapters is unnecessary. As I've said to you so many times, the Bible was not originally written in chapters and verses, but in paragraphs and books. And the division by chapters and verses came later on. So really and truly, verse 20 and 21 goes with verse 1 and 2. Why is this the day of salvation? What is the reason for this day of salvation? Well, first of all, in verse 20 and 21, now then, Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. The minister of the gospel is an ambassador, like the United States sends an ambassador to France or Spain or Italy or Australia or some country. God has sent His ambassador. No man taketh this office upon himself, but he that's appointed by God. God sends His servants. God calls His servants. God anoints His servants. And God gives them His message. God says over and over again to men in the Bible whom He had sent, He said, you go and speak to the people for me. You tell them, thus saith the Lord. So Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. God is speaking by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. For. This is the day of salvation. For. Or because. God hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. That's how come it's a day of salvation. That's why it's a day of salvation. That's the reason it's a day of salvation. Because Christ was made sin for us. There could be no day of salvation if Christ had not come. There would be no day of mercy if Christ had not come. There would be no day of salvation if Jesus Christ had not visited this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. If Christ had not faced the law and obeyed it. If Christ had not gone to the cross and shed His blood. If Christ had not been buried. And if Christ had not risen again. And if Christ had not ascended to the right hand of the Father, there would be no day of salvation. So this is the day of salvation for, or because, God hath made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might have the good news of the gospel. That we might have the offer of mercy. That we might have the invitation to come and find rest. That we might have the invitation to come and find peace. Christ has come. And God has proclaimed this as the day of salvation because Jesus Christ came into this world. Secondly, this is the day of salvation because we may now be reconciled to God. There was a day when you couldn't be reconciled to God. It says here, we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. It is now possible to be reconciled to God because Christ has died for our sin. And Christ hath reconciled us unto the Father by His cross. The law couldn't reconcile us to God. Scripture said what the law couldn't do. The ceremonies couldn't reconcile us unto God. The blood of bulls and goats cannot put away sin, the Scripture says. Good works cannot reconcile us to God, for the Scripture says, by the works of the flesh shall no, works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But Christ has come, and Christ has died, and Christ has suffered, and now we can be reconciled to God. The enemy can be the friend. The stranger can be the son. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. I want you to do something for me. If you will, I want you actually to do this. In Isaiah 53, I don't very often ask people to do any participation like saying things from the congregation and raising your hand and things like that. I believe in just preaching the gospel and asking the Holy Spirit. But take your Bible and take a ballpoint pen. If you can't do it right now, do it later. But I want you to do this. I did it in a Bible I had one time. I have a friend who has it in his Bible the same way. Come down to verse 5 of Isaiah 53, or verse 4. Verse 4 of Isaiah 53. And everywhere you see the word our, I want you just to draw a line through it and put my. Everywhere you see the word our, just draw a line through it and write my. Look at here at verse 4, Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Don't ever forget that. That's your confidence, that's your assurance, that's your hope, that's your redemption, that's your life, that's your reconciliation. This is the day of salvation because Christ was wounded for my transgression. Without that, I'd be God's greatest enemy. Without that, I'd be God's greatest enemy. I'd be a stranger, I'd be an alien, I'd be separated, alienated from a holy God, and without any possibility of ever being reconciled to God. This is the day of salvation because, as Paul said, you can now be reconciled to God. And then thirdly, this is the day of salvation because He set it. I don't have the authority to set a day of salvation. I don't have the authority to set a day of reconciliation. The church may get together somewhere and vote to have a day of reconciliation, but that won't make it a day of reconciliation. I can't change a day of wrath into a day of salvation, but I know who can. Look at here, if you will, at our text again. Verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 6. This is a day of salvation because He set it. For He saith, I have heard thee. Who said it? He said it. He said it. Now, this is a quotation. Paul is quoting God. Where did he get it? Isaiah 49. You want to turn over there? That's where this came from. Isaiah 49. That's the Old Testament. These foolish churches and denominations and preachers that want to discount the Old Testament, they're revealing their utter ignorance of God, their ignorance of the gospel, and their ignorance of the Bible. Paul is quoting here in 2 Corinthians 6 when he says, as a worker together with God, I beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for He said, God said this is the day of salvation. God decreed this day. God established this day. God promised this day. God perfected this day. God purposed this day. God predestinated this day. Isaiah 49 tells us that. It's His prophecy. Isaiah 49:5. Listen to it. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant. This is talking about Christ. To bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, Yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, Jesus Christ. To him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an accepted time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. This is God's day. He said it. He said it. This is the Messiah. When you see it, mark it, God said in Isaiah 49. That will be the day of salvation. Then, it is a day of salvation, first of all, because Christ has died. It is the day of salvation, secondly, because we can now be reconciled to God. It is a day of salvation, thirdly, because God set it. God predestined it. God purposed it. And thirdly, fourthly, it is a day of salvation because God says it's an accepted time. It's the accepted time. It has come now, or it's come not at all. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Now then, Almighty God has set this day, and he said, this is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. Come now. Come now. And Luke 13 says, or you'll come not at all. Luke 13, 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. This is the day. Come now. Come now. That's what the Scripture says. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come now, for this is the day of salvation. Now then, I want to speak of the day itself. Would you go back to Isaiah 49, to the prophecy which Paul is quoting, and let's look at that for just a moment. This is the day of salvation. God said it. Christ hath reconciled us to the Father. Christ has died for our sins. And the offer is extended, the free offer of the gospel, the blessed invitation to sinners. Come, all that are weary and heavy laden, God said, this is the day of salvation. The kingdom of God is around you. The gospel is on your lips. People are being redeemed all about you. Don't perish in the day of salvation. But now let's speak of the day itself. First of all, it is the day when prayer will be heard. You say, but God always hears prayer. No, God doesn't always hear prayer. There are times when God will hear prayer. There are times when men pray in vain. God says in Isaiah 49, verse 8, listen to it. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard thee. God says, this is the day. I'll hear you now. I'll hear you now. I'll hear you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll hear you when you call now. This is the day when I'll hear you. This is the day of mercy. This is the day of grace. This is the day of the Lord. I'll hear you now. You say, well, give me an illustration from the Bible when men prayed and God wouldn't hear them. All right, turn to Proverbs 1. I read one a moment ago. Of course, you remember it. He said, when the Lord hath risen to and shut the door, and you stand without and say, Lord, open to us. He says, I will not open. I will not answer. I will not hear. Now listen to Proverbs 1:24. I have called, that is, in the day of the Lord, in the day of grace, in the day of salvation, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded it. You set at naught all my counsel. You wouldn't listen to my reproofs. Now then, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. It's coming. Fear is coming. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. I will not answer. They shall seek me, and they shall not find me. This is the day. It is the day because God says, I'll hear you now. It's a day of salvation because I'll hear you now. God may not hear you tomorrow. The Scripture tells us about a big prayer meeting at the end of the world when men prayed, not believers, unbelievers, not to God, to the rocks and mountains, not for salvation, but for death. Then shall they cry unto the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. God doesn't always hear prayer. God hears prayer in the accepted time. God hears prayer in the day of salvation. He says, this is the accepted time. I'll hear you now. I'll hear you. And not only that, verse 8, Isaiah 49, he says, I'll help you. I'll help you. He says, I'll hear you, and in a day of salvation, I'll help you. Are you helpless? God says, I'll help you. Are you without strength? When we're weak, then are we strong. Are you weary? Come to me. Are you heavy laden? Call on me. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. God heard him. Christ turned and said, what do you want? Make me whole. I will. I will. I will. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy. You know, we're proud people. There is a sense in which I admire pride. I admire the man who rejects charity and wants to make his own way. I take my hat off to that man or woman who rejects the welfare from the government and rejects charity when he's got a strong back and able legs and strong arms which God has given him. He wants to make his own way. I admire that very much. But I do not admire that pride when it touches the soul. And when a man knows that he's helpless and without hope and without God, and yet he won't bow as a sinner at the throne of mercy and cry, Lord, save me or I perish. Lord, have mercy upon me. Keep your pride and keep your own initiative in the things of the flesh and material things. Pride of workmanship is great. But pride of soul rotten. Pride of workmanship and pride of appearance is wonderful. People ought to pay attention to how they look and how they act and how they dress and how they conduct themselves and how they work. That's great. Just turn out the best you can. And nothing short of that. But when it comes to God Almighty, be as the humble beggar in the dust and sue for mercy. God says, I'll help you. I'll help you. And then this is a day of salvation because sinners will be accepted. He says it's a day of what? Salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. It's a day of salvation. And then notice another thing here in this verse 8 of Isaiah 49. He says, this day, it's the day I'll hear you. It's the day I'll help you. Now look at this next line. And it's the day I'll preserve you. I'll preserve you. I'll keep you. I will not let you fall. I will not let you perish. I'll make a covenant with you. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God, and I'll write my law and statutes in your hearts, and I'll never let you go. John chapter 10, verse 27, Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'll preserve them. The gates of hell shall not prevail against them, neither shall any man put them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and nobody can pluck them out of God the Father's hand. This is the day when I'll hear you. It's the day when I'll help you. It's the day when I'll save you. And it's the day when I'll keep you and preserve you and never let you go. What a day. What a day. It's the day of light. You going to die in darkness? It's the day of grace. Are you going to perish in wrath? It's the day of mercy. Are you going to let it slip away? Receive not the grace of God, Paul said, in vain. I beseech you, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. For one day, that day will end. Now that's so. One day it will end. You can be sure if the Lord calls it a day, that He has limited that day. You can be sure that if God calls it a day, that He has limited that day. Right now, the kingdom of God is about you. Right now, the kingdom of God is near you. Right now, the gospel of God is, Paul said, on your lips. Every time you use the name Jesus Christ, you're using the name of the gospel. The grace of God is all about you. One day, you'll spend your last hour in church. One day, you'll hear your last verse of Scripture read. One day, you'll hear your last sermon preached. One day, you'll hear your last call. And then God will say, leave him alone. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, he says in verse 20, he began to upbraid the cities, Matthew 11, wherein his mighty works were done. The kingdom of God was among them. The grace of God was upon them. The day of salvation was revealed to them. And yet they repented not. And he said, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, woe unto thee. If the mighty works which are done in you, if the gospel which was preached to you had been preached in the wicked cities of Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. But I say unto you, it's going to be easier for the wicked cities of Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And Capernaum, God exalted you to heaven. You heard the gospel. Jesus Christ was preached to you. The works of God was done in you and among you and around you. And yet, you refuse to repent. You shall be brought down to hell. If the mighty works, if the gospel preached to you had been preached in Sodom, it would have been right here on this earth right now, Christ said. But I say unto you, you say those wicked people of Sodom are going to have a hard time in the judgment. Not as hard as you, God said. For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom, they would have repented, and it'll be easier for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than it'll be for you, in whom the works of God have been performed. I dream that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dream that the nations had gathered to judgment before God's great throne. And from the throne came a bright shining angel, and he stood on the land and the sea, and he swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The day of salvation has ended. The day of mercy has ended. The day of grace is over. The moral man stood at the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. For the men who had crucified the Lord Jesus, they had passed off as moral men too. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper, he stood at the judgment, and his debts were too heavy to pay. The man who had put off salvation. Not tonight. I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last, he'd found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and a wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed. but their prayers were too late. Paul said, "My friends, I beseech you, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, be ye reconciled to God, for this is the day of salvation. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He hath reconciled us to God. This is the day God said when I'll hear you. This is the day when I'll help you. This is the day when I'll save you. This is the day when I'll redeem you. This is the day when I'll preserve you." But it's a day, and a day has an end. A day has a sunrise, and a day has a noon, and a day has a sunset, and a day is over. And darkness is come. And Christ said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." The night coming. The night coming. The night coming. And for some of you, the night's a whole lot nearer than you think. The night's coming when no man's going to work. "Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" they said. "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent." Our Father, warn us in the voice of the Holy Spirit, warn us in an effectual way. Warn us, O God, in a way that will break our hearts and our stubborn wills and make us willing to receive Christ, and to kiss the Son, and to bow as beggars at the throne of mercy, and through the blood of Jesus Christ to approach Thee in faith. In His name we pray, Amen.